Okay, welcome everyone to
Hi, welcome.
Heart. Yes, here with Ceres Andromeda, and I'm Sina Maria.
I've
And
got the right name.
you got the name updated, perfect. Everything's coming together. And this is the second part of our seven-part series of the Ascension Essentials, or the Pillars of Ascension that Ceres has created. And so, maybe you can tell us a little bit first about just the course and what you've set up and why we're doing this together.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say welcome to those who are already doing the Ascension Essentials e-course right now, seven-part course in real time over these 7 weeks with the video series, AE video series I'm doing, and with these Ascension conversations that Sina Maria and I are doing. Welcome to all of you who are already doing the full process with us. For those of you who are not or not totally familiar, I've created a seven-part e-course. You do not have to do it in coordination with a group. It covers the seven pillars of ascension, which are basically, it's basically like a foundation, a set of tools, and also a series of tiered light activations. There are entry points to help you align with your ascension if you're just becoming conscious of it. And then there are higher level light activations if you are already well into your conscious ascension. So I'm really inviting people, really, really, really welcoming, encouraging, inviting people to make use of this to activate or accelerate their ascension right now at the beginning of this new year and new galactic cycle. When we embrace and fully align with our ascension, it also activates our unique purpose. The two happen at the same time. They can't be separated. And then for those of you, so this series of podcast Ascension Conversations with Sina, the video series I'm doing, those are free and they all build on that seven-part e-course that I've created, the AE e-course. Just through January to encourage people to really make use of this and start it well before the equinox. We're offering an additional 5% discount. The course is already on sale to encourage people to do it. If you you can also get a 5% discount additional at checkout with the code January if you get the course in January. I think that's it. Is that it?
Yeah, I think the only other thing to mention is, like you said, the podcast episodes obviously, and the videos that you're doing are free. So people can, if this is the first time you're tuning into the podcast or this video, you could go back and watch the first pillar or listen to the first pillar. And this, we mentioned this a lot in the first discussion, but all planets are ret or direct. All planets are direct, and it's a really potent time right now, and that's why we're doing this, is really to encourage, like you said, as many people as possible to take advantage of this blank slate right now that we have to really support our ascension into our highest purpose.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. we had a galactic Earth reset in the solstice of December. From there, we really did get a blank slate for creating sort of in purified ground beyond the old patterns. And then in January now, we've got the seeds of our new purpose that we can begin to plant in that new purified space coming in. And we have all planets moving direct. For those of you who aren't familiar, usually there's some planets retrograde. When they're retrograde, that's more of an internal experience. When planets are direct, that's more of a forward-moving external time for that planet aspect. They're all direct right now. They're all, and that's very, very unusual. So we are moving fast forward into the new. That is why Sina and I are doing this right now to share this information and opportunities for people to make use of this particular window to empower and activate your highest potential for this new year and cycle.
Yes, yes, very potent time. And yeah, let's talk about forward motion. And I think we need to mention this eclipse that just happened. And
yeah, when there's almost too much, I just laugh when the eclipse is so big. Okay. Right, we're recording this. We just had the full moon lunar eclipse this past Sunday night, Monday morning, depending on what time zone you're in. We're still in the energetic of it. This eclipse was enormous. I've never seen a moon event hold collective personal attention, reverberate, move so deeply through so many levels of personal collective experience. I have never seen this with a moon event before, like this one. We are still very much in the energetic of this lunar eclipse. So while, yes, the planets are moving forward and direct until the beginning of March, within that, we just had the eclipse. So we've got this interim where it feels like a slowdown only because it's so full. It's so full. The shifts are so full. And this lunar eclipse is going to greatly empower our purpose. It's a reset of the male-female balance, which is going to allow us to have a newly stabilized foundation to create from, in which things are sustainable in a way that we're not used to. Things are based in balanced, harmonious, unity, consciousness, love frequencies in a way that we've not been able to access in our human creations. That is a lot of what this lunar eclipse does. We're having to process, this moon's working really deep, so we're processing this through so many levels of our being. So we're doing this video podcast, it feels like still on the other end of the lunar eclipse. So we'll just trust that the tech will work and things will move through the channels and it will happen. So we're rolling with the eclipse energies, which have kind of skewed and slowed lots of things as we integrate. Probably what it looks like as we integrate this eclipse over the next 3 or 4 days, we are going to feel a lot of pieces sort of snap into place with our new male-female balance, and we will be able to flow from this really empowered, strong, stable place with all this forward-moving energy.
Yeah. So I think for anyone feeling wobbly right now, just know that you're not alone and that there's a very big reason, because it's literally like our systems are getting a major upgrade and reset so that we can actually embody this new balance between the masculine and feminine.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So Sina and I are really dedicated to bringing something through that is not just about the eclipse. I mean, it will work with the eclipse, but we're going to also talk about some other things.
Yes, absolutely. And this is actually a really great topic to talk about right now, I think, because the approach I wanted to take was about trust and discernment. And I think especially when there's so much collective shifts and kind of upgrades happening and things are moving so quickly, which they just kind of continue on to do as we ascend, it's really like a training ground, a continued practice of how do we stay centered and how do we trust ourselves, like how do we really tune in the midst of these big changes, or when we feel particularly wobbly, where do we access that trust from? And so this is the second pillar of ascension in your course. And I just want to read a teeny little blurb that a note that I took. You said, in 3D separative life, we are entrained to defer to and invest our faith and trust in everything outside of self. And so maybe we can start there. If you can just talk about, 3D, like the different approaches or understandings of trust and where we're moving into with ascension.
Right, this shift, yeah. So it seems normal because of habit and because it's what everyone else is doing and it's what the world systems are reflecting to defer to invest our faith and trust in everything outside of self.
With ascension, what we do is we begin to not just default to what everything outside of us and everyone outside of us says should be our truth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't continue that way. What others say should be true for us, around how we should live, what makes us safe, what we need, what's going on with our bodies, what we're capable of, how we should understand our feelings, how we should express and be in relationship and progress through the cycles of our lives. What we do in ascension is we withdraw our trust investment in all of those designs and messages from the 3D world. And what we begin to do is to come back in and begin to listen and attune to, well, what are the limits? What is my real nature? What is true for me?
Mm.
What's the scope of what I can do when I remember what I really am? When I reclaim my soul power, when I live from my heart instead of my 3D mind, when I start accessing higher and higher frequencies of light, what actually are the rules and how does everything work? And what's good for me? And what are my priorities? What are the things that I need to be concerned about? And what are the things that don't actually matter or mean anything at all? So what has reality, what has importance, the way that we organize and prioritize our lives, our bigger goals that we invest in and how we choose to move through our lives begins to change because we begin to reinvest our trust in designs and potentials and consciousness that are love aligned, that are not confined by 3D limitations, that are empowered by unity consciousness, infinite realm potentials.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, examples, we could get specific, but yeah, what we do is we start to identify, okay, this is what I was fed by this system, corporate or financial or religion or education or my upbringing, the culture, the family culture, the local geographic culture I was born into, and maybe all those things that I was taught as reality or the rules or the maybe that's not what I need to invest my trust in as what's real for me and true for me.
Right.
So I'm gonna reclaim my trust investment and we start to read and listen and hear and work with people and things on the outside that resonate with us because they are reflecting the truth that we are connecting with again inside that we're remembering to trust. So you know, that's talking about trusting. A lot of what we do is we trust what we resonate with in feeling. And that is a practice that we get better at over a while, because our head cannot always explain and justify why. We can't always prove it to ourselves. But we read something, or we work with someone, or there's a synchronicity, and we feel a resonance. We feel something inspired and empowered that we want to trust, that feels more real and alive than something older, separative out that we were agreeing to.
Mm-hmm.
We have this feeling resonance, you know, soul body resonance, heart resonance, spirit light resonance, and we feel this resonance. We feel this alive energy around this information or this event, and we want to trust it. And what we have to do is make a choice and say, I'm going to trust this thing that feels alive and true before I can prove to myself why I'm trusting it.
Mm.
Following feeling resonance is really a lot of how we do this. If we go into the head, we will get into fear-based questions that will loop around, and we'll just be off in a maze. So if we're at those choice points where something resonates, but we're not in the habit of trusting it,
mm-hmm.
what we want to do is just drop into our heart. Just take a breath into the heart center and just take a moment and say, this feels alive and good and true to me. I want to trust what feels alive and good and progressive and expansive and true. I want to trust that. I'm not sure if it's okay yet. And we just take a breath into the heart.
Mm.
And we say, okay. We say, okay, I'm going to do what at one level feels like a risk. And I'm going to reinvest trust in this thing that is resonant or that calls me forward, that feels like love and potential and inspiration. I'm going to choose to trust that, even though it's new. And I don't feel completely certain about why I'm trusting it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling resonance. Something in my heart knows.
Mm-hmm.
Something in my heart knows there's still some fear. All the fear's not gone, but I can choose to trust and move in that direction.
Yeah. So there's two things that I want to pick apart more. I think... Yeah, one thing that really comes up is that feeling resonance that you said, the way to practice and remember how to trust ourselves is a felt sense. It's in our body. It's a feeling experience that we have. And I think everyone listening to this and watching this would agree that they've had those moments in their lives where they just know, you know, and they may be few and far between, but we do have, I think, whether or not we're attuned consciously to ascension or not, like, we know when there's those moments, those critical moments, those life transforming moments, when you're making the choice to take a leap or whatever example it is. There are those moments that we've chosen to trust ourselves over everything else that may be happening around us. And that can also be really scary when we're not used to that, to tuning in and following and listening to the feelings that we have. So there's a lot there, but one kind of thing I want to tie it around to is when you were talking about trust, I kept understanding on a deeper level that trust and power are very, like when you were saying trust, you could almost replace the word trust with power, right? Where we by being conditioned to trust everything outside of ourselves over ourselves, we are essentially giving our power away to everything outside of ourselves over ourselves.
That's it exactly. And so then when we're completely unconscious, which is where we usually start, all of us, we have given our power away, like you said. And so we have to really choose to shift back, because we'll feel like, I gotta keep making sure I've got all these outside things reassuring me and in place in the way that everyone else says, okay, because I've given away so much of my power that I don't, you know. So we have to make that shift. So we shift first back here, then our power returns to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that, and then it becomes easier to trust our feeling. When we trust our feeling resonance, we're trusting our real self over, yep, instead of our egoic mind that we've been entrained. Egoic mind is how we've navigated 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when we trust our feeling resonance, we're trusting our real self. And every time, and this is what's so brilliant, becoming self-referential again, like the course talks about in section 2. When we choose to trust our real self, incrementally, we are reclaiming some of that power that we've given away, like you just described so beautifully. Whether we notice it or not, some of that power returns to us, and we are more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
So even if everything seems to be working perfectly from that choice or not, we have become more self-referential. We have reclaimed some of our power just in choosing to trust ourselves. We have become more of the center of our universe in our human experiential reality.
Mm-hmm.
We have brought more of ourselves back into the center of conscious experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the act of self-trust is, yes, how we reclaim our power. We become self-referential. We become the conscious center of our universe again. It's not about, well, how did every little detail play out when I chose to trust myself?
Mm.
It's really not about that. In the fuller order, beyond what we can see, that choice to trust ourselves is serving us in myriad ways. So if we, you know, and it will bring up fear to clear, it will. And so sometimes we want to look for proof that we were right to trust ourselves in all of the evidence in the mirror to try to dispel the fear. That again is more of a head.
Totally.
So what we want to do is say, well, I'm not sure if I'm reading this reflection in the mirror of life correctly. I don't feel totally validated by what happened over here. This thing seemed to go well. But what matters more than all of that is to keep coming back and trusting what resonates for us from one moment to the next. And we can do that even when there is still fear.
Right.
That's how we go for a long time in ascension. And when we trust our feeling resonance, that gets stronger. That ability gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So then if there's some fear that comes up, it's not as big of a deal. Doesn't
right.
throw us.
Right. And I feel like this is so crucial in this time where we have so much information, like infinite amounts of information available to us. And we've grown up to learn to look outside, to do all the research, to receive all the information that we can about things before making a decision. And of course there's a balance, and there are certain places and things that do help you, certain people that will support you on your path. And this is where discernment comes in. But really, just to like, one of the biggest personal benefits that I've experienced from developing this a stronger sense of self-trust is I have much less overwhelm about my life, like in my life. I have much less overwhelm because I'm not constantly looking out for something else to tell me what I should or should not do. And I'm not getting, because then you're just confused. There's endless opinions. Every single person is different. And so that I see that from, you know, our diet to exercise to relationship advice. I mean, you go on, there's an expert in everything. And when we are dependent on that in a way, when we just give our power away to something, all of these different things, it's not only dispersing our energy, but it's a distraction. It's just adding to layers of confusion. And so a big piece of learning how to trust yourself is that ties into discernment too, because we have to know how do we know what,
when do we source information from outside, still include and defer to something. Right. Well, even that we want to, as fully as we can, wherever we're at in our ascension and our waking up, we want to check within. So let's see, I'm just going to use a really, really simple example, and then we can. Okay. I'm sorting through a lot of information. So earlier in my sort of path, I learned a lot about natural everything, whatever, self-care.
Right.
So, and then as we go through embodiment, embodiment can be really challenging for our systems. We can have sort of extreme needs for a while. We need like a lot of fluids, or we need a lot of protein, or we need a lot of rest, or so like if I notice I'm needing certain support for my physical experience and my embodiment, my practice is to tune in. And I'll still be aware of, like, let's say something I used to use that works from, you know, herbal medicine, something I know, my past experience, something I learned from someone else. And I'll just incorporate that. I'll just let that be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, these herbs used to work for this thing. This person said I should do this when I have this need, this expert said I should do this. Okay, all that information's there. Let me come into my heart and let me just really tune in really deeply and listen and feel. Let me welcome higher guidance. Let me get into my body so I'm connected to my soul. Let me open my heart. And let me just listen within. Maybe there's some fear and worry. Okay, I'm gonna let that be there. I'm gonna go in as deeply as I can, be connected and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be helpful to do this thing with these herbs that I did before? Would those help me now? Would that just be a comforting default because it helped me before?
Mm-hmm.
What do I really need? What's going to really support me right now? And listen and feel within, and then trust and follow that the best we can. So in trusting ourselves, we will use information and resources from the outside, but not as an alternative to referencing self.
Right.
Because in referencing self, we have identified that other things that people share, other information, supports what we are following for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a replacement
for
deferring to self.
Right.
Is that clear?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, even the concept or the idea of being very discerning about what information you're taking in and really tuning in with, like, is this, does this resonate with me? Is this serving me? Is this useful for me in my daily process? And that's something that I think we have to actively work to do in this world when we're, there's TVs in restaurants and there's, you know, we're just walking around and it's like, So I think that's just a really helpful reminder that I think becoming self-referential is supported and can become an easier process when there's a when you minimize the amount of information you're taking in from outside. It's like to first, just to get to know, like quiet down the external noise so you can really listen, because it's something that we have to remember and learn and practice to remember how to do. And so then once that's strengthened, you can really, you know, look outside and just see what's out there and what's helpful. But I think it can just add to the confusion, I feel.
That's a brilliant point. That is a brilliant point. It takes a while to come back and to defer to ourselves and to trust that. Well, and also I will say that as we do this practice, it activates our circuits and it strengthens our muscles and our ability to hear and to discern information on the inside. So when we listen within and trust, it also pulls in higher guidance. And it activates the whole field of support and information that we need when we're trying to make a choice. Mm-hmm. So there's more that becomes available to us and that turns on that we need as we choose to trust. We're showing up in that place where the information comes in and we're becoming receptive and opening the circuits. I'm coming back to your question. But I want to add that. So, you know, like the higher guidance, all the beings that we work with, you know, our soul intelligence that keeps us really grounded and savvy in the earth realm. Mm-hmm. And our heart, the love bridge for everything, all of that in beautiful, beautiful intelligence that has nothing to do with the egoic survival mind, it becomes available. We open our channels, it turns on, we become receptive and we pull it in when we keep coming in and listening and trusting what resonates. Okay, so there's that. In the meantime, as we progress towards that, yes. The programs that run through the collective, through the human collective, and through the 3D earth systems are designed to talk us out of trusting ourselves.
Right.
They are. And however you want to understand that or be curious about that, maybe a conversation for another time. The programs that run through the human collective and through the societal earth systems, the 3D ones that we've been working with, are designed to actually hook us in to leaving our self-trust, leaving our center and deferring to the outside.
Right.
They're trying to work that way. So as we return to self-trust and becoming self-referential, yeah, it's really good to notice. When I watch TV and there's 40 drug commercials through one show, I start to feel afraid about my health.
Right.
So I'm not going to watch commercials for a while.
Yeah.
When I get on this social media platform and everyone's having this fear-based argument about this, I lose my center and it pulls me out. So I'm going to let go of that. On and on and on and on and on.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So that's a really good segue into a question that I have about trust, is when and how it can be misconstrued to actually not support. Because
what I missed the last
two words. To not support our self-referential and support really true embodiment of trusting ourselves. So in that example, it's like Yeah, I guess maybe I won't go specifically to that example. Well, okay. So the example that the reason that came up was thinking about, you know, seeing challenging things, you know, watching the news or reading the news, and there's things that come up that aren't fun to look at and we don't want to engage with necessarily. And so it can be a common response to that to, be like, okay, I trust that everything's gonna be okay. Everything's fine. I don't have to engage in that. It's basically a way of bypassing. Is I've seen that can be misconstrued. So yeah, how can we talk about how can trust be misconstrued?
Okay. One of the things that can definitely happen for all of us when we're on a spiritual path is that we are faced with things on the inside and on the outside that confront us with something that we do not want to face. We do not feel able to. We don't want to. It feels like a threat. Things within and things without. It's implied in ascension that what we are doing is coming conscious, which means we've been unconscious, and reclaiming self. So that implies waking up to seeing everything that we have pushed into shadow, avoided, forgotten, gone to sleep on. So this process, built into this process, is showing up to witness, be present for things that were hidden in shadow that we weren't strong enough or willing to look at before that need our light. This is the dedication, and it's kind of why we use the word work.
Right.
And it's the process of taking responsibility, oh, such a misused word. The responsibility means the ability to respond to self. Responsibility, somebody actually said, is sort of becoming a disciple unto yourself. So responsibility means I'm able to respond to my own experience. Responsibility has been used to denote blame, and that's not what it means.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. So when we get onto a spiritual path, many types that we can all be inclined to, especially as we connect with higher frequencies, higher places where we can see and feel that some of the scary, messy things down here don't mean the same up here. But the whole goal is to bring that light down here. So we can have a tendency on spiritual paths to say, I'm trusting that everything will work out. I'm trusting the universe to take care of everything for me. And that can become a spiritual ego in which we are opting out of showing up to welcome things conscious, to welcome our own shadow. Conscious. And it can also be a way of not occupying our role. It's also a way of avoiding our power.
Totally.
Right? So the ability to respond to self is the ability to occupy self and live, own this experience. And so when we don't do that, we're out of our power. So saying, I'm just going to trust everything will work out. That's also a way to sort of opt out of our power when we are collaborating with other people and connecting and we've made commitments and we're going to exchange.
Right.
And so in the external, that's a way to just opt out of personal responsibility and power by saying, I'm trusting, I'm just trusting that it's going to work in the universe. Well, what is that? Well, that's us. What we're trusting is us. So what happens is there's this egoic confusion where right. It's like, oh, I'm just floating at a higher level. I don't have to worry about all these details. I'm trusting this otherness to figure, that's still outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
It's us that we're trusting. So we can trust ourselves when we show up. We can trust our universe as a reflection when we show up.
Mm.
If we don't show up for ourselves, then we're out of our power.
Yeah.
And we're not, then what is, then we're not trusting anything. We're just avoiding.
Yes.
And life will reflect that to us quickly.
Yes. Yes. And along this similar lines, there's also, I feel like there's also an egoic pattern of, okay, I'm working on trust. I'm like totally attuned to my spiritual path. And thus that means that I say yes to everything. Like there's no, there's nothing wrong that ever happens. There's no shadow or there's no issue. Even if something happens that I don't like, I'm trusting that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's similar to what you were just saying, but there's.
Yeah. It's its own particular version.
Yeah.
So with that, that's also a way of really not coming into the center of self, being responsible. And because saying yes to everything as if everything is all good, that is something that applies at higher levels that are less dense. That we uh-huh. access in ascension, we access to that. But applied life, that's not, we live in a dual realm. And if we're gonna be honest, we still do engage the 3D world. Now the whole idea is that 3D is not our ceiling, that we are aligning with higher frequencies and applying that light here. But 1, 2, and 3, we still, the world, the 3D world is filled with things that are not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the whole reason we incarnated here is to bring those things back into light. So if we just say that it's all good, well, at the higher levels, that's true. But we came down here at this lower, denser level because that light is not at work at this level.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are going to be effective, empowered channels for that higher light where it is so needed here on earth, we will need to be honest with ourselves about how not good so many things have seemed and felt. And in my experience, when there is an inclination, and this is totally understandable, when there's an inclination to just say, I'm going to agree to everything because it's all good. And it's the other side to that, that will be come forward at some point, is some hurt and anger about how not good things have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a delay in getting in touch with that. And when that hurt and anger comes forward about things that we wanted to say no to and we didn't, or we couldn't, we really wanted to say no. When that hurt and anger comes forward, we will have a healing process and some of our power will return to us and we will become really clear and honest and be able to discern. Saying no to one thing is also a yes to something else.
Right.
In the dual realm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say no to giving my power away. I'm going to say no to something that's not authentic for me. I'm going to say no to something that would drain me and hurt me. And so it's not really loving. That's not good. When I'm drained and hurt, I'm not a channel for love here. And that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I can say no clearly to that, then I am saying yes and trusting my ability to stay aligned with love, no matter who seems to like it.
Right.
Because if I'm saying yes to myself and aligned with my own love light, I'll be supported in my highest potentials, even if I said no to something that someone else seemed to want. And there's a minute of friction over that.
Yeah.
So we do cultivate the ability to say no when that's a way of saying yes to ourselves and to what we really want to invest our trust in. And to let that no be experienced how it is. Other people get to feel how they want to about that.
Yeah. It's responsibility.
Yeah. They have a right to their thing. We're not responsible for their, you know, at some point they may get that we were actually being loving because we told the truth and we honored ourselves and that was love. And if they don't experience it that way, well, they have a right to that. That's not up to us.
Yeah. This is the entire, I think you probably call it a reversal that we exist in, is this whole way of living where we lie,
right?
You quote unquote help other people. We lie so that we're not hurting other people.
And I'm really glad that you mentioned that. We might have to wrap up soon.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that. But this is something really important that has sort of infected spiritual ideologies, is to forego ourselves in the name of service. That's actually been happening for a really long time. And so we want to reclaim ourselves. You know, we don't need to sacrifice ourselves in order to, not our real selves. I mean, we may choose to give something or to endure some discomfort or to rise to a challenge for someone else. But we can do it from a place of having honored what's real and good for us first. What's real and good for me is to support and share and show up and connect this way. That's what I want.
Right.
So we have ownership of that choice before we do it.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming from our center. We're not going outside of ourselves. Actually, this is really important because anyone who's ascending has had many, 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 many spiritual lives before. Anyone who's ascending has had religious, monastic lives. And for a long time on the planet, that has been equated with asceticism, you know, self-flagellation, self-sacrifice.
Right.
And there are reasons. I'm not going to get it. I've, you know, asked me about a spiritual tradition and I could talk for 5 hours. I have respect for the, you know, the Buddhism and the Taoism and some of these very, very old monastic traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And they serve their purpose on the planet for a long time. That's not what we're doing right now. We're reclaiming ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we do that, when we light up and expand and honor ourselves, not the egoic self that's trying to get something, the real self that already is, when we do that, we open up that potential for everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we serve.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's by aligning with and acting from our heart's desire, we empower and encourage others. We show them that they can do it too.
Right. When we choose to live as love, trust our love nature, align with that, wake up to that, dissolve the unconscious fear, move forward in our ascension, do it more confidently, trust it more, expand into it more, go into a clearing process, come back, trust it some more. When we light up and expand and live as love and are more of our real selves, we light the way for everyone. We light the way for everyone. We encourage and we inspire others. They are nurtured and supported by the light that we are emanating just by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's a really beautiful note to end on, is that the truth of all of this is that by coming back to our own power and our own selves, we are supporting the collective. And
absolutely
that's all it is. That's all it takes, is us just coming back to ourselves.
That's right. And you know, in ascension, I mean, the real reality that we are coming back to in ascension is that everything works in unity. This whole idea of all these isolated parts is a made-up egoic idea. So, but we gradually come back to things working in unity. So energetically, yes, when we invest trust and faith in ourselves and our higher potential and our love, joy, our authentic being, what we resonate with, what our hearts resonate with, our true desires, when we invest our trust in that, we infuse love light into the collective. We make it more possible for everyone else.
Such a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good place to end for this one.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
The links for everything, for the course and for the videos and all the stuff, will be in the show notes for those listening to the podcast. And I just want to thank Ceres for being here and sharing your wisdom, because it's very, very supportive for me, and I know many people that tune in.
Thank you for facilitating, Sina.
Of course. You're welcome.
All right.
Hey, and
next week. Thank you, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Lots of love.
Lots of love. Bye.